News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, welcome. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. We made it to Friday, very fast week, considering that we've had a couple of weeks where we've had four-day work weeks, maybe three-day work weeks for some of you, and here we are, five-day work week, and it seemed to have cruised right by. David, good to see you back in the saddle again.
I appreciate it. Good to see you.
How's the saddle sore?
Yeah, we're
good.
We're doing all right.
Happy to hear that. Very happy to hear that. We have a lot of things that we're going to get into today. Now, one of the things is a story that is absolutely disgusting, David. Who in the hell tortures dogs? Now, this is a story that is local. I suspect it is going national as well. But if you don't know it, the Niagara County Sheriff's Department is saying that there are rewards for information that leads to the arrest of a person who is torturing dogs. This is like a serial dog torturer. Two dogs found tortured and dead on Wilson Road in the town of Lockport. There is an outfit out of Syracuse offering a $3,000 reward. A local family is offering $250. And a woman from Seattle is offering $5,000. The Niagara County Sheriffs will be working with Crime Stoppers to set up a fund for those wishing to pledge money for a reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons involved in the Wilson Road dog abuse case. Who in the hell is doing this, and how in the hell do you keep something like that private and quiet?
Well, you know, that Wilson Road, it used to be called Sandpit Road in Lockport. Local Lockport folks would, they still refer to it as Sandpit Road. And you know, these dogs beaten, set on fire. No way could it be ruled as accidental. There's no way that anyone could be confused that somehow, you know, someone was trying to do the right thing the way that they were put and set aside. Obviously, this is a sick individual. And it's important to bring up that this is the gateway to more violence, that violence with animal, anything that can't defend itself, an animal that trusts you and you decide to take rage out. This is what we see as the building block of every serial killer. I won't say every, but a majority killers are abusing animals. You see this with, you know, with child abuse,
spousal abuse,
across the board. You know, and it's almost as if abusing animals is used by the FBI to profile. I mean, everyone loves taking guns away. Everyone loves creating databases of individuals. If you're in a situation where you're beating an animal, setting it on fire, torturing it, that is a to me, that's an air raid siren cry for help. And not only do we need to be looking at you, but we have to make sure that these people, young, old, in between, are getting help. And not only that, we want to make sure that they're never in a position to adopt an animal, a child, in a position to do anything of authority or responsibility with people that can't defend themselves.
No, I want to get. Not only do I want them to get help, but I think I want them punished first. Before I want any help for these people, I want them punished. I want them punished severely. I want the book thrown at them, and I wouldn't mind if somebody set them on fire.
Well, yeah, I mean, within reason, of course, but I think, though, that that's part of it. The punishment has to obviously be severe, but it's not something that you. Do we really believe that, you know, whether or not you're rehabilitated or not, you go through a system, I think it's enough of an alarm to say that, you know, if you abuse a child and you have to knock on doors for the rest of your life everywhere you move to let people know that you're in the neighborhood, I think it should be very similar to something as outrageous as this. We're not talking about, you know, grandma got too many cats. I mean, there's a lot of abuse that is called abuse, that is just a hoarding mentality or misguided love. You see all these feral cats, you bring them into your house, and then you get older, you can't feed them. You know,
can't clean up after them.
You can't clean up after them. Sure, that's abuse, don't get me wrong, but it's not at the level of someone who's going out of their way to torture something that can't defend itself.
No,
that's, to me, a huge red flag that whoever these kids are or adults, they need to be isolated and maybe wear an ankle bracelet for
Let's see, ankle bracelet. I think there's no way they should ever be allowed to legally adopt an animal or adopt an animal from. They should never, ever, ever have custody of an animal for the rest of their lives. I don't care what they do for a living. If they're in agriculture, screw them. Take their herd away.
But, you know, you brought up a point when we were doing before the show when we got together and you said, you know, do people care more about animal abuse than they do human abuse?
I think a lot of people do, but I think the commonality, I think, you know, is more like child abuse, because people have an innate sense of injustice when somebody is doing something this cruel and this atrocious, this violent, this wicked, this evil to a being which really can't defend himself. Now, I'm not sure what kind of dogs were found in the bag. I don't know if they were pit bulls or were not pit bulls, but it really is, you know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, pit bulls have an undeserved bad reputation among some people who are ignorant, but anybody who would do this kind of stuff to an animal, I mean, I've got to believe that they're going to prove to be male. I've got to believe that they're going to prove to be somewhere between 15 and 25 years of age, and I've got to believe that they've got some discipline problems, and I've got to believe that they've had previous run-ins with the law.
One was a terrier, the other one was a pug, and the animals were about 2 years of age, and according to the Buffalo News, they had no tags, microchips, or any other unusual markings. Which makes the job obviously much more difficult.
But, you know, somewhere, this is what really pisses me off, David. Somewhere there's a family that is missing a pug. Somewhere there's a family that is missing a terrier. And they're never going to know. I mean, without looking at the remains, they're never going to know if there's a possibility that their dog was the one that was maybe kidnapped and maybe tortured and killed by the sick son of a...
Or perhaps the owner of the dogs did this, you know, as well. I mean, there's a just a ton of possibilities. I'd like to think that if what happened to these dogs happened to a child, it would be national news. I think that's all we'd be talking about. And thank God we don't have, you know, predators amongst us where, you know, this happens more and more to children. But when it happens to an animal, to a person, it's still repugnant, but I think it's dangerous. And when you look at, you know, two white garbage bags with abused and burned animals, you know, you look at the story of Dahmer, that's exactly how it started. You know, torturing animals, moving your way up, and it's got to be nipped in the bud, isolated. But at the same time, I don't know if you can rehabilitate someone, you know, accidentally.
I don't think you can. I think these are evil people. I don't think they can be rehabilitated. And quite frankly, if they spend the rest of their life in a mental asylum, I'm all in favor of that.
Look, there was we have evolved, by the way, people look at animal and treatment of animals. There was a time I talked to a guy down south that I served with, and he was like, you know, back in the day, if you brought a dog home, grandpa would take the dog back and be like, you can't feed this dog. I gotta put it down. That was just, there was a totally different, you know, there weren't movies about dogs outside of Old Yeller. And
I was just going to mention, you know, Old Yeller.
But today, there's these dogs have personalities, and they're cartoon animals that are animals, and the kids, you know, dogs are used for treatment. Dogs are used for stress therapy, and they're working dogs. And I think that we've evolved with everything else, the evolution of our culture, where animals have far more rights, and there's a totally different way of looking at a personality of a dog, where if you took a dog out back today and said, well, I don't need this or I don't want this, that you would have charges filed against.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I mean, we've all had experiences with elderly animals, and let's face it, elderly animals can sometimes be a real pain in the butt. Elderly animals have accidents. Elderly animals tend to be kind of slovenly. Elderly animals can sometimes, I wouldn't know any cats that do this, but, you know, they sometimes tip over their food dish and then spread it all over your nice hardwood kitchen floors, and you got to get the shop vac out to get the dried out cat food up. Not that I would personally know anything about this, but the idea that when your animal becomes elderly and is you know, kind of becomes a labor, it becomes a labor of love. It's not something where you're going to say, hey, you know, the cat or the dog is being a real pain and slovenly. I think I'll do away with it in a cruel and inhumane manner. You take it to the vet.
Elderly animals do the same thing. Oh, wait a minute. You were talking about
animals. Yes, elderly animals.
I thought
animals.
You meant
yes.
The elderly.
Yes,
like,
no, elderly
no,
animals.
No, you're right. And they get, look at, animals get cranky, like people get cranky, and they snap, and they, you know, that's why you got to, when you have a puppy, you want to make sure you're handling as it's eating. You know, a lot of times a dog will snap because you've never touched it while it's eating, and it's not a bad dog, but it's going to bite the kid because it thought the kid was going to take its food. But in this case, if you found two dogs, you know, that were shot, you could make an argument that you were putting a dog out of its misery, you were old school, but you were trying to do the humane thing. There is absolutely no argument for how, A, you're beating to death an animal, which is just, there's a million possibilities of putting an animal out of its misery than beating it to death. But setting a dog or an animal on fire, I mean, that's just like bingo. And now you're dropping it off in an abandoned lot somewhere. But again, I don't feel there has to be a connection to abusing children and animals and what these people are allowed to do later in life.
And we haven't brought something else up, too. I mean, is this part of some satanic ritual? Could this possibly be, you know, some connection to Satanism? I mean, I'd like to leave John Podesta out of this, but is is this possibly a connection to Satanism?
You know, that was one of the biggest, I never knew, growing up in Orleans County, I had always heard that there was, like, you know, we found a skin animal with a pentagram on it, and I never knew what was urban legend and what was real.
Same thing with Black Rock back in the 80s.
Right, and so that I've heard that growing up so much that I've never seen a satanic cult or anyone admitting to being a satanic cult. But there's a lot of people that just do stupid things and try to make it look like it's a satanic cult just because, you know,
They want the shock value.
Right, exactly. And there's not actually people walking around hitting themselves in the head with Webster dictionaries. But that's what they want you to think, is that there's a cult out there, whether this is gang-related or it's just an idiot. I mean, there's a very real possibility that this is just a bored young person. And I'm sorry, but that flag is still there. If I saw a job resume and I, you know, do a background check, and I find out that you've burned and beaten animals when you were 14, I'm sorry, but I'm shredding that resume. I never knew. You never came through my door. I'm not going to hire someone in charge of anything that is, you know, that is about as mindless as the idiot that goes into a cemetery and bashes, like, a Civil War tombstone.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we would like your telephone calls on this story, especially those of you around Wilson Road, Sandpit Road. You know, what's the buzz? What's the word in your neighborhood about what has been uncovered where you live? You know, just a short walk from your home. Phone number on News Radio 930 WBEN is 803-0930, 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. That's 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. WBEN. If I had to guess, I'd say this is going to be a male. It is going to be somebody between 15 and 25 years old. I'm going to guess that they've had previous encounters with the law. And, you know, this is so irritating to me. And it's the same sense of outrage that I felt today when I was listening to one of the news channels about that girl that was able to escape 3 months after her parents got whacked.
Incredible
right
story.
In the house. And she was able to escape. And one of the analysts said words to the effect of, and this is not a direct quote, words to the effect of, well, you know, this person clearly was not in his right state of mind. Well, wait a minute. Right state of mind, the legal definition, and I'm not a lawyer, but the generally accepted definition is, did you know what you were doing was wrong at the time you did it? That is, and if you knew what you were doing was wrong at the time you did it, generally speaking, that mitigates or does away with any hope you have of pleading insanity. And the individual who did that to this little girl's family clearly took every step he possibly could to make sure that he didn't leave anything forensically behind. This was a premeditated, cold-blooded, double murder in order to kidnap this little girl.
Well, again, there's a lot of facts out there that we don't have. It could be that, and I think a lot of experts are pointing to something like that. It could be something where he didn't know she was there and he took her anyway because she was a witness to this. But here's the thing: it's weird when you take the fact that she's alive is a miracle, because these stories do not end with a live
kidnapped
child.
It's like that girl. What, Elizabeth Smart was her name?
That's right.
I believe
it's very few and far between, and a lot of people believe that, you know, that these guys, they get themselves into a situation where they rape or they murder, and it's like, you know what, my life's over anyway, I don't want a witness. And then when we finally do have someone that escapes, like the Cleveland situation, where he had women, you know, tied up in his basement. Yep. I don't like the argument that is made sometimes where, you know, maybe if we didn't put so much pressure, you have to look for people that are kidnapped. I mean, of course there's going to be a statewide manhunt. Of course you're going to put pressure. But if you look at the Wisconsin Police Department and the way that these investigators did this, they were, you know, this was 70 miles away from where the murder happened, but they really forced this guy into an area where they knew he didn't leave the state. They had a lot of, it's almost like the law enforcement has evolved. The profiles that you're talking about, these guys are so good. And now they're doing linguistics and they're figuring out the different patterns of people that leave notes behind with DNA. And we just found another cold case murder solved by an ancestry DNA case in New York where a guy murdered a school teacher in 92. So, I mean, the technology's keeping up. Law enforcement's doing their job. But those profilers... And I believe that you are going to find a profiler on something like this, too.
But, you know,
there will be, there will be a category of what type of person does this and help law enforcement find them.
But, you know, the thing that really bothers me about the case in Wisconsin that fortunately had a happy ending is that all of the resources, all of the efforts, all of the professionalism of law enforcement, it wasn't law enforcement that solved this case. It was the girl escaping from captivity and running up to a dog walker and saying, "I am this girl, please help me." That's what solved the case. That's somewhat disturbing.
Well, it is, but at the same time, Wisconsin, this is a rural area,
right?
You know, and so what, you know, the main the thing that you don't want to have, and I'm not law enforcement, but I would extrapolate that the worst case scenario is that you have someone who does something horrible and heinous. They have a kidnapped child, and then they start going on a killing spree, or they start, you know, there's no end in sight. Let's leave the state. Let's leave the country. I mean, their first priority is to do to cordon on the entire area to make sure nobody's getting out. And the idea that this guy was in the state 70 miles away, you can make the argument it was only a matter of time before a neighbor or someone else is like, "Why are you buying the things that you're buying if you're a single guy?"
Right.
The food that you're buying, maybe the products, feminine products that you're buying, something points to the fact that something's going on. And we would eventually would have found her. But the fact that, you know, she's alive, I'm sure she's been through hell. Her parents are dead. God knows what this animal did to her. But at the same time, it's a miracle that she's with us. And hopefully we can learn from, you know, just put another layer to a profile. Anytime these stories and these cases get broken, they go into a lessons learned file.
Well, the profile, I mean, again, we're talking about the situation with the tortured dogs in Niagara County. And what should we do? What should society do with somebody who does this? What kind of permanent restrictions should be put on somebody who, even if they're a teenager, tortured, burned, and mutilated animals? You know, what should we do to make sure it doesn't happen in the future? 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, somebody like this should never, ever be allowed to have a dog. But I do find it interesting that this is going to require help from the public. I don't know that the law enforcement people have the resources. I mean, they've got crimes against people that they've got to deal with in Niagara County. They've got, you know, every day, just like any other department, they've got calls coming in about domestic violence. They've got calls coming in about accidents. They've got calls coming in about drugs, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know exactly where this is going to be on the totem pole, if you will, or the hierarchy of priorities for the Niagara County Sheriffs or the other investigative agencies. But the people really need to help out and step up and start calling in tips.
Absolutely.
So one of the big stories that we're following on News Radio 930 WBEN, Niagara County Sheriff's Office is offering a reward for information leading to the arrest of a person who is torturing dogs. Two dogs, a Yorkie, a terrier rather, and a pug, were found tortured and dead on Wilson Road, Sandpit Road in the town of Lockport. One outfit out of Syracuse is offering a $1,000 reward. A local family is offering $250. A woman from Seattle is offering $5,000. So if you have any information about the individual who tortured and burned these dogs, if you call 438 438-3327, 438-3327. It would certainly be appreciated and welcomed information to the authorities in Niagara County. We're trying to get somebody on from Niagara County to give us the latest information on this story, but we understand they're all in meetings right now, so we'll see if we can't fill in some blanks for you as the show moves on here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I mean, do we need tougher laws against people who torture animals? And there's a reason for that, and it goes well beyond animals. I mean, we're talking about people who are, you know, statistically shown, if you torture animals when you are younger, you are exponentially more likely to abuse children, more likely to abuse spouses, more likely to engage in all kinds of absolutely terrible, terrible behavior. And the time to nip this is in the bud. And I would take it one step further and say, I don't care if you're 14, 15, 16 years old, if you do something like this, I think that you should have to register for a certain period of years, David. I don't know whether it's 15 or 20 years. I think when you move to a neighborhood, you should have to tell people, hey, when I was 14 years old, I was convicted of beating and torturing a couple of dogs. I think you should, I mean, part of that is just like we do with the child molesters. Part of that is the shaming aspect of it. And the other part of it is to educate people in the neighborhood over who just moved into the neighborhood.
Well, I think it should be a part of, I mean, look, when it comes to guns, everyone loves background checks. But if you were to adopt a human being, absolutely.
You mean adopt an animal?
No, I'm saying if you were to adopt a child, they're going to do a criminal background check on you to make sure that you are not a sexual predator or anything else. But there is limited things that the SPCA or other groups can do. Certainly if you buy a dog online, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, gun hole loopholes, straw purchases at gun shows. You can get a dog on Craigslist, exchange cash. That's all great. You know, are you required to register the dog? Are you required to go and make sure that you have no sort of animal cruelty behind? But then again, this is not the exception. This is the exception. The rule is most 99% of dog owners love their animals, take care of their animals. They're passing laws that you can't keep dogs outside during really crazy temperatures because, you know, some people might not intend to torture their dog, but it's not good for their animal or their cat to do it. And what I'm saying here is that these are few and far between. But when they happen, you got to make sure that that you slam these guys against the wall and send the message that you're going to be you tortured a dog. A dog is not a U.S. citizen. But guess what? Your punishment is going to be severe, and there shouldn't be probation.
No,
setting things on fire after you beat them up.
No, and a terrier and a pug in particular. A pug is a tiny dog. I'm not sure what kind of terrier or how big the terrier was, but my goodness, I mean, a pug is just like a very, very giant gerbil. My sister used to have a pug named Baron. Very, very small dog. Absolutely defenseless. They can barely breathe, much less defend themselves.
Well, remember that in 2014, Phoenix Law that passed the New York State Senate, that was in direct response to a situation that happened with another dog. That dog was tortured, set on fire while it was alive. And we don't even know that could have happened in this case as well. But.
And that dog actually survived and actually has a happy home. I've met Phoenix the dog.
Right. So, but again, there was mandatory minimums and different rules that were set up because of a response to animal cruelty. And, you know, we see these things a lot, but at the same time, not usually in Western New York.
And again, I cannot emphasize this enough. If you know anything about the tortured, burned dogs in Niagara County and you drop a dime on the person you know did it, there's $6,000 at least in it for you to call Niagara County at 438-3327, 438-3327. This is absolutely an utterly atrocious story, David. And I wish I knew, you know, the magic formula for preventing cruelty to animals. But unfortunately, I don't think one exists. I mean, there's going to be people who say, well, wait a minute. How can you possibly be against cruelty to animals? When are either of you vegetarians? Do you have any idea what happens in factory farms? And maybe you've got a point. But I think there's a big difference between something you are going to eat and you buy at the grocery store and just this gratuitous cruelty to a creature that is really in no position to defend itself. And I feel so bad for any family that has had a terrier or a pug go missing, especially in that area over the past few weeks or months, because they've got to be wondering if it was their dog that met such a horrifying end. Because when you have a dog, when you have a cat, you know, a lot of people regard those animals almost as little fur babies. Not particularly fond of that expression, but that is the expression a lot of people use when describing the very tight-knit and close relationship they have with their animals. And to do something like this to an animal, again, David, it's only one step of separation between doing it to an animal and doing something cruel and horrible to a human being.
Yeah, well, you see it. It's documented in the schoolhouse. This is a gateway to more torture and people that do sadistic things. Phoenix's law was to double the penalty for aggravated assault on an animal. But one of the things that Phoenix law gave New York State was the ability to automatically put into a psychiatric evaluation anyone who is convicted of an aggravated assault on an animal, which is a good step. But there still needs to be something to do with that information. You might go to a shrink because you're torturing an animal. I just think that anyone who is in a position to give up their animal to you in the future should know that you pled guilty or were convicted of a crime with an animal. I mean, I think that's, to me, that makes perfect sense. And there has to be, you know, where did these animals come from? If they're your own animal or if you stole the animal, we don't know the circumstances here, but this is a sick person. This is a person that we don't really want in circulation.
Well, the question is, how sick are they and how evil are they, or, you know, in what proportion? Because I think you've got to be evil, first of all, and I think you've got to be sick, second of all, to do something like this. And I don't think it's the kind of sickness that should be exculpatory from criminal ramifications from punishment if, in the event, this individual is caught. And again, you know, if you know anything about the SOB who did this to a couple of dogs in Niagara County that were found on Wilson Road, Sandpit Road, the number to call to report that is 438-3327, 438-3327. The number to get on the air to talk about this with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. And again, we only ask that you call if you want to go on the air, because one of the things that Sean and Phil have had an issue with today is, I don't want to go on the air, but would you please pass along? Those messages are never passed along to us, because it ties up the phone lines for people who want to get through and get on the air at 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, David, does Phoenix law, I don't know if you've got the law open in front of you, but does that make this kind of animal cruelty a felony, or is it still considered a misdemeanor? Do we know that?
Let me see.
I can look it up very, very quickly, I suppose. But, you know, it's stories like this and child abuse, David, that just they make me absolutely sick to my stomach, because when you're talking about the most heinous acts perpetrated by the most vicious people against the most innocent victims, it brings out like anybody's inner Charles Bronson or anybody's inner John Wayne. You want to see justice done. You want to see the person held responsible. You want to see that person punished. You want to see that person punished hard. And it's just an inexcusable act.
It's pretty gross, and it leads to other horrible things down the road. And the fact that so many people are putting money into this, hopefully that's more of an incentive to find the folks who did it.
Which is only going to work if whoever did it opened their mouth and started to brag about it or talked about it, or maybe gave an indication beforehand that something was going to happen to those dogs. I mean, there's $6,000 on the line. $6,000, that'll buy you a lot of meth.
Well, you know, again, that it's easy to take, you know, guys who do this or women who do this and put them in a category that they're drugged or they're crazy or they're, you know, sadistic. But it could be, you know, a lot of times folks that do this look totally unassuming. Look at the guy that just got arrested for taking that girl in Phoenix.
Oh!
That guy could be working at a GameStop. I mean, he's just a big, chubby nerd. You know, I mean, you don't look at him and think this is a guy who can murder people and kidnap a 14-year-old. But, you know, that's why we have to be hypervigilant. And, you know, again, it's hard to say, you know, the animals dropped off in a location, which is a pretty open area in Lockport, where this happened, if it was out in the country, if it happened wherever it did. But, you know, I think we get ourselves all worked up when we think that it's a, you know, that we can look at someone who's an abuser or look at someone who's violent and be able to look them up and down. A lot of times you look at people that are on a motorcycle and you think, oh, my God, it's the most dangerous looking man in the world. And they're the most patriotic, loving Christian men you'll ever meet. And then the guy holding the Bible with a tie on, you know, convicted rapist, you know, so we have no idea what the circumstances are. But hopefully $6,000 will get us to find these guys.
Well, I certainly hope so, because this is one of those absolutely inexcusable crimes, and I certainly hope that information is forthcoming to the authorities in Niagara County. Again, we have placed a call out to Niagara County and the investigators who are looking into this. Hopefully, we will hear from those investigators with the very latest on this situation before too long. I'd like to think that the reason they're in a meeting is maybe they've got some good leads that they're tracking down.
Well, we also have a breaking news story that there really isn't worth talking about as far as a topic, but the President of the United States just held a press conference, and he's talking about the southern border and the wall. And the news that just came out of it was that he could declare a national emergency and find the federal money to build the barrier, but he believes that it won't happen quickly, and he wants this to happen quickly. So he's urging Congress, here are your options. I will call a national emergency. I will find the funding and pull it out of emergency funds, or you guys can do your job. Pretty much everything we've heard from the past, just reiterated.
We got some people who want to chime in on this dog situation. This is Mark calling in from Lockport. Mark, a grisly story from your neck of the woods. You're on WBEN.
Hey, Tom, David. Yes, it is. It's horrifying. And you guys brought up a great point that whoever did this to poor defenseless animals would not hesitate to harm a child, a woman, or do some other type of heinous crime. I'm familiar with Sandpit Road area. It's right off of Route 31. It's a stretch of road going down right off by the top supermarket. It's not well-traveled, but if this was done during the day, probably somebody did see something. It is off of a country road, but yes, somebody, you want to emphasize to your listeners, if somebody saw a vehicle stopped or pulled over, it would be very noticeable.
Well, you know, Mark, operating on my thesis that it's going to prove to be somebody who is male, probably between 15 and 25 years old, I'd like to add on to that. The chances are, I will bet you that the perpetrator lives within 2 to 3 miles of where the bodies of the dogs were found.
Absolutely, Tom. This isn't something that someone not from the area would suddenly say, oh, this looks like a nice road. That road has been used for years for people to pull over, drink, party at, so it is familiar to the criminal element that it is isolated. It is conveniently located off Route 31 going down towards Middleport, Roy Hart, also isolated parts of the town, so that's an absolutely very, that the perpetrator is familiar with the area.
Mark, what is the buzz in your neighborhood about this situation? What are people saying? And here's a great email I got, and it goes this way. Tom and David, my name is Brad. I live in Tonawanda. I'd like to pledge $500 for the arrest and the disgusting individual who abused dogs in Niagara County. Please let me know how I can go about this. My response would be, please contact the Niagara County Sheriff's Department at the non-emergency number, or you might want to call the investigators in the case. We'll repeat that number in just a few minutes, but I think the Niagara County Sheriff's Department is the clearinghouse for reward money at this point to be offered for the arrest and conviction of the scumnut who tortured these two dogs. Right. Let's get back to Mark, who lives in the area.
Hold on. I just got to correct something because I put out some bad information. I apologize. Phoenix law that was passed, that was actually sponsored by Mark Rassanti in the Senate, it never went through the Assembly, so it is not the law in New York State. I automatically assumed that it went through the Assembly. How could you be against something that seemed to have a tremendous amount of support? But it is not the law. Phoenix law was something that passed the New York State Senate, died in the Assembly, was never signed into law, and maybe it's time to bring that back. If you're a local senator or you're out of New York, Niagara County.
Oh, senator, we need to press these people to pass this.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, next week is supposed to be an interesting week for New York State gun owners. If my information is correct, I'm not saying it is, but it could be. Let's get back to Mark in Lockport. So, Mark, you were basically we're asking you about what people. You know, what is this a big deal where you live, or are we making a mountain out of a molehill?
No. No, this time this is absolutely a very big deal. As I think David and you brought up earlier, pets are a part of people's families. You grow up, you interact with your family, your children. They're one of God's creatures. They're helpless. They're defenseless. When you take a pet, you have an obligation to provide it love, care, treatment, and the very last thing that you should do as a pet owner or a dog napper, as you brought up, that could be a very good point too, is to torture and burn and leave like garbage a poor defenseless creature. That is just absolutely disgusting, and it goes to the heart of morals, values, and what our society is based on. And if we can't enact legislation and laws to make this type of a crime a felony,
how could anyone be against it?
Go after gun owners that are trying to defend their homes, but you're going to allow individuals to basically take an innocent human life and discard it as garbage.
Well, or animal as well. But what I want to know is, what would the Democrats, and I'm just saying this because they run the Assembly and the Senate, but it was the Democrats in the Assembly at the time under Sheldon Silver that killed this thing. What could they possibly use as an argument?
I have no idea.
That's crazy.
Why did Phoenix's law not become Phoenix's law?
I mean, I really
thought talk to Judge Grisanti and ask him?
I just like you're there. You want the definition of organized crime? There it is.
Well, but listen, though, on its surface, that seems like such a slam dunk piece of legislation. I can't think of anything more.
How could you say, I'm for burning dogs alive? How dare you pass a law like this?
At the very least, a psychological evaluation doubling the mandatory minimums for aggravated assault on animals.
Something taken out of society. If you have a propensity and a willingness to kill a defenseless animal, where do you stop?
I agree.
Well, and history shows us they don't stop anybody from Jeffrey Dahmer to Ted Bundy. Their criminal careers, which ultimately resulted in murders of human beings, started off with the killing of defenseless animals. Mark, thank you for the call, and keep your ears open, and make sure the Niagara County Sheriffs know if you hear anything that is reliable information. Thank you for calling.
Okay, guys, thank you, and just by keep airing the story, that's going to get more publicity on it, and that's what's going to break the case open.
Well, I hate talking about stories like this, but this is one of those times where I have to. I'm glad you called, Mark. So is David. Thank you. And until I hear otherwise, if you are willing to make a donation to the reward fund, I'm going to presume that the number you will call is for the Niagara County Sheriffs, unless I am connected or corrected otherwise. 433-3327. 433-3327. That's one of the reasons we want to get the people from Niagara County's Sheriff's Department on to talk about this, so we can make sure that we're giving out the information that needs to be given out on this particular story. And a lot of people want to help. A lot of people want to make donations. And the best number I can give you right now is 433-3327, 433-3327. And, of course, the area code is 716. Bowerly and Bellavia, we're both in the saddle today at News Radio 930 WBEN.